Okay, so while we're getting these slides up, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next speaker for you. I'd like to introduce David Thompson. He's a CTO at Sprightly Institute, a co-maintainer of Guile Hoot, and a longtime contributor to GNU Geeks. He's going to be talking to us about a proposal to re-architect web browsers as minimal WASM runtimes, where functionality is provided by safe modular extensions to reduce centralization. So as we get these slides up here, let's go ahead and give him a warm round of applause, everyone.
Unmute.
Perfect. Nice. And then just go ahead and stay on this side of the
Okay,
light.
Got it. Yeah. Cool.
Goes forward, goes back.
Okay. I don't get a mirror there. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Man. Yeah, that's fine. I'll just be looking over my shoulder. Can everybody hear me? Coming through? Okay, cool. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Dave. As Kevin said, I'm the CTO of the Sprightly Institute. The Sprightly Institute is, we work on the next generation of decentralized internet technology for the social web. And specifically, I want to talk to you about one of our projects called Hoot, and it's why I'm here to talk to you about WebAssembly today. I'm a user and implementer of the WebAssembly specification through the Hoot project. Hoot is a scheme to WebAssembly compiler. At Sprightly, we do a lot of our research and development in the scheme programming language, and Hoot is a way to deliver it to anyone that has a web browser to actually try out our prototypes and demos. Hoot's not only a compiler for an obscure Lisp programming language, it's also a complete standalone WebAssembly toolchain, including things like a WebAssembly interpreter. So in addition to running things in the browser, we can actually run things in our own interpreter for testing purposes. So that's kind of my background in WebAssembly. I've been doing this, working with WebAssembly for 2 to 3 years at this point. But I'm here to talk to you about the state of web browsers, and this is more of a vision talk. I normally give talks about kind of concrete things that I've been working on. This is more of a vision. It's not my vision. It's one that I've read about online that I find compelling. I'm going to be maybe not discussing all of the political things that are going to make what I'm about to show you a very difficult thing to achieve, but just an idea I find very compelling. And basically, I think the web has grown too big to implement a new browser, to say peel any market share away from something like Chrome is mostly impossible. If you're not Google or funded by Google, good luck implementing enough of the web standards to make a browser that people can actually use. People are trying, but it's certainly an uphill battle. So what if we subdivided the problem? What might a more modular browser look like? What if a web browser was little more than a WebAssembly runtime? What if we shrunk the core of the web browser down to mostly that? Gives you a window and a runtime and maybe some way to access the OS facilities that WebAssembly can access. So how do we get from where we are now to there? One, I don't totally know, but I'm going to present a vision. So today we have, most browsers have a high trust monolithic core, typically written in C++, with JavaScript as the user space, and now there's a WebAssembly runtime kind of sitting on the side, but it's still driven from JavaScript as the host of those things. The vision is a minimal core with the necessary OS access and then just a WebAssembly user space. So what if JavaScript wasn't even something you assumed as a core part of your web browser? What if it was just WebAssembly? One of the things that I like that this would enable is having what I call a polyglot environment. Instead of, traditionally, we just had JavaScript on the client-side web. And so if you wanted to do, no matter what you wanted to do, you had to use JavaScript. And often people are compiling other languages to JavaScript. Now with WebAssembly, we have a feasible way to use different languages for the tasks that they're most appropriate for. WebAssembly's found a lot of success in using, say, Rust or C++ to make a WebAssembly module that does a lot of number crunching, let's say, that we offload some of the work from JavaScript over to WebAssembly for that purpose. But still, JavaScript's kind of our main language we're using. But we could take this further, and we could utilize all sorts of different languages and different programming paradigms for the things that they're best suited for. So this is kind of looking to use having a big toolbox that we can use to build our applications out of. So again, this idea is not mine. I've read about it for some time. This is a blog post by Joey Hess. May know is a longtime Debian developer, author of Git Annex, general Haskell wizard, someone that whose code I often can't understand, but I think is a really brilliant person. This would be easier to read if I had my laptop, the mirror here, but you know, so throw out all the web standards, make a browser that just runs WASM blobs and give them a surface to use, sort of like the way Wayland does. It has tabs and a throbber and URLs, but no HTML, no JavaScript, no CSS. Just HTTP of WASM blobs. And Joey asserts this is where the web browser's going eventually anyway, so why don't we try to build a future where we go there, but users retain some agency over their web browsing, and this is not, it goes there anyway to WASM blobs, but retains all of the, you know, the large corporate control that we currently see with the web browser. So I found this really compelling. And then as I got into WebAssembly work, I found it more and more compelling. So, all right, WebAssembly, what is it anyway? So show of hands, who's familiar with WebAssembly already? Okay, that's a good number of people. Who's worked with WebAssembly directly at any point? Okay, that's fewer people. Okay, so just for those that are kind of know but want some more information, WebAssembly is a portable stack-based virtual machine. Its purpose is to be a lower level compilation target than JavaScript. But still being a higher level, at a higher abstraction level than your average assembly language. So there are features of WebAssembly that you wouldn't find in like your x86 or RISC-V, et cetera, assembly languages, one of which being garbage collection primitives, which I'll get to. And so it's everything in WebAssembly, it's statically typed, unlike JavaScript. Like JavaScript, control flow is structured, which is unlike most assembly languages that have some kind of go-to thing to jump to various labels in the code. So it's quite different. And it has this import-export system for composition. So modules are usually small, self-contained things, and you can compose many modules together to form, you know, your overall application. So yeah, it's designed to be a good target for compilation. The idea is to be faster than JavaScript and have good boot time as well. So who's heard of ASM.js? It's the precursor to WebAssembly. It was basically using a subset of JavaScript that it was started by Mozilla, using a subset of JavaScript that was amenable to good JIT compilation, and you know, all sorts of interesting demos were done with that, including porting like a form of the Unreal Engine and getting that running in web browsers. Very cool at the time. But WebAssembly came out of this to like, okay, let's do this, but for real. Let's have like a real format for this. So this is what WebAssembly looks like. This is a full module in the WebAssembly text format. It looks like a weird Lisp, if you're used to at all the Lisp programming language. You've got all these parentheses. Everything's in prefix notation. This module is very simple. It has an exported function called factorial. And what you see here is just an iterative factorial algorithm. But note that there's things like loop constructs, if, these things, you can have nested instructions and stuff like that. So different than most assembly languages in that regard. So here's a sketch of a modular web browser. What if nearly everything was an extension? You know, I'm an Emacs user, and in Emacs, nearly everything's an extension, and the core is relatively small. What would the Emacs of browsers look like? Like, can that even be a thing? You know, there's so many web standards out there. What if, you know, if browsers weren't concerned with having to implement all of them, we could actually have implementations of web standards as WebAssembly modules, and so that we could ship browsers where the implementations could be swapped out as long as they were spec compliant. Maybe you could leave them out entirely. There could be competition amongst implementation of individual web standards, as opposed to just having, you know, essentially Chromium and WebKit and now we got a Gecko and stuff over there, unfortunately, seeming to start to fade into irrelevance. So, you know, one thing that's compelling to me about this approach would be the idea of, like, shipping to the web is good. It's good to have a native app, too. It's good to have the same code in both places. And so Electron is kind of appealing, but you're shipping, like, all of Chromium or something, like, to people, and it's just, like, this giant blob, and it does not make me feel good, does not spark joy at all. But if I could tailor what I ship down to just the things I need for my specific application, I'd feel a lot better about shipping something like that. The surface area for problems and just total binary size feels a lot more reasonable in that case. And major browsers could look more like a Linux distro does. It's a Linux distro is a curated collections of software packages. What if browsers could be more curated collections of these modules? But decoupling all this stuff means coordination. We need modules to interoperate. They need to share references to objects with each other. How can modules know when another module is done using a reference? Is anyone familiar with the WebAssembly component model? The WebAssembly system interface, WASI? Okay, just a few people. Well, there's a proposal out there for this WASI thing. It introduces a component model for collaboration amongst WebAssembly modules. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it takes a very shared nothing or borrow checking approach to collaboration, where you can send something to another module, but it's only for the duration of a single call, and then you kind of unborrow it. At the end, there's no real idea of sharing things for long term and then collecting them when the object's unused in that other module. And WASI is really focused on non-web use cases anyway, so I think WASI is an interesting thing, but I think it's completely the wrong direction for the web. So I think the solution really is to embrace garbage collection, which is, I know, sometimes a contentious subject, but I'm a big proponent of garbage collection. WebAssembly 1.0 had a linear memory only model. You're talking about offsets, pointers, offsets into memory. WebAssembly 3.0 added these GC managed reference types, which means that we can do heap allocation. So there's a struct.new instruction, and this is what allocating a pair looks like in our scheme implementation. And this is a pair that has two, you see these ref.i31s there. Those are representation of some immediate values, in which case those magic numbers are the constant for true and the constant for false. So this is just a pair of both Boolean values. So, but notably, these are heap allocated. They're opaque in the sense that you can't just get an offset into that memory there and then go read off somewhere that you shouldn't be, right? So we have there's security properties of heap references. So we have this reference type hierarchy here. This is what the reference type system looks like in WebAssembly. You have all your things like structs and arrays for composite types. And then way over on the other side here, we have this external reference type. And that's good for sharing references, say, from JavaScript or any other WebAssembly module. So you can get external values, say, a DOM node or something like that, and you can operate them, interoperate with them through WebAssembly. So there's a whole rich type system here. And if there's any GC skeptics in the room, if you were using Rust or something in compiling to WebAssembly, you could use WASM GC as well. It's not a all or nothing kind of thing. It would be feasible to say have all your borrow checking stuff that you might prefer inside of your Rust module, and then have GC between modules for that kind of collaboration that you need. There's another issue. Decoupling means distributing trust. Web browser is a very secure environment, and so that high trust C++ core is something that's not changed with any speed. In the previous talk, I was talking about how careful the browser vendors are about making changes. So I'm proposing decoupling these things. That requires even more security. So we need a way for modules to collaborate safely. How are we going to do that? And the solution is capability security. So show of hands, who has heard of capability security in the room? OK, it's a little less than half. That's actually better than I expected. Very cool. The motto we like to use at Sprightly is, if you don't have it, you can't use it. By holding a reference to something, you have the authority to send a message to that thing. That's the essential idea of a capability. If you're used to passing arguments to functions, congrats. You basically understand capabilities at this point. How many programmers in the room? Let's say probably most of them. Okay. If you're familiar with the concept of lexical scope, make that your security model, and you have capabilities. Importantly, it means no ambient authority. And what is ambient authority? Here's an example, just using JavaScript, of a contrived thing that sets the value of something, of an element, and then focuses it. The first one uses ambient global state by looking up an element by its ID. And so the document is this magic global thing that you just assume every function can access, and then you can just look up things by identifiers. So this is what you would call ambient global state in a program. And so that's not a capability approach. A capability approach is explicit reference passing, where you would actually get the element as an argument And by holding a reference to it, you can then send messages. So that's a very simplistic example. This is not a new idea. This is a paper at MIT from 1996, a security kernel based on the Lambda calculus by Jonathan Rees. Highly recommended reading. Really cool. But just to show you, this is an idea that's decades old. Capability security also has the benefit of having a good user experience. There's this paper I would recommend reading as well called Not One Click for Security. And I'll say, by using a browser today, you're actually already used to certain capability paradigms. The file picker, when you want to upload a file and give access to a file to a website, is a capability pattern called a power box. By clicking the upload file, you open the file picker. The web page does not have access to your whole file system. You instead consent to picking a very particular file and granting it access. So web browsers already have some of these really nice UX properties already. And so I think, you know, we should take this further. So WASM, the reason I bring up capabilities is because WebAssembly is a capability system. And there's both compile time capabilities and runtime capabilities. WASM binaries have no privileges by default. They can't do anything besides, say, get into an infinite loop and make your laptop hot. They can't do I/O. They can't make network requests, etc. It's all any outside world interaction, any I/O that a module can do, has to be explicitly passed in by its host, the instantiator of the module, which means you can't just import something from the web. The WebAssembly module can't do that. So this is a capability security essential core principle. And WebAssembly modules may also export things that then can be imported into other WebAssembly modules. So with an import-export system and no way to reach out beyond what you're given, WebAssembly makes for a secure runtime. And then all these heap allocated references that I was talking about, those are runtime capabilities. So those are, you can get access to references at runtime and then operate on those objects and pass them around. So this is just an example of importing. I'm just trying to see how I'm doing on time. I think I'm doing okay. So this is from our Hoot project, actually, like a snippet from it. This is calling into JavaScript's BigInt implementation to allocate BigInts. This is what the WebAssembly decoration looks like. It's basically a function that doesn't have a body. We just say there's a hole that's got this signature, and I need the host to put something in there so that this module can work. And here's an implementation of it from the WebAssembly side where we reboot the module, and then we pass in the import. And in this case, it's using the BigInt class to actually allocate the BigInt. But the important thing is that the instantiator is in control, right? If a module asks for something, it asks for something, you know, with a certain signature, it's up to the host to say what that is. And the host could just pass in something that didn't do what the module hopes it would do in the first place. So if there was like a dangerous feature or something that you didn't trust about the thing you're trying to run, well, okay, it wants an import. Imagine this was like some kind of HTTP request. You could just say, no, I'm just going to return some garbage or spoof something or whatever. So it's really the instantiator is who is in control. Which means we have the ability to run untrusted code, which is kind of nice. I'm about to wrap up. Another article that I found really compelling was by Ian Hixon, Towards a Modern Web Stack. And Hixie's been advocating for kind of the same thing that Joey Hess is advocating for, of kind of reducing the stack, more to being like, okay, you have a canvas, and you can draw on it somehow. And this article has made people concerned that the whole idea of like web documents and all the stuff that we get with the document object model and all the accessibility features that are built into the document object model, like, are you proposing to throw all of that out and just have like a canvas and you just write pixels? And I'm speaking for myself here, and I think if we can figure out the right approach to modularity, I don't think it has to be a dichotomy. I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think for the document web is great, but also it's not sufficient for certain types of applications. Can we find a way to have both of these things work? So I'm not advocating for a choice between one or the other. I would like both. So WASM has room to grow. What's out there with WASM GC right now is the minimal viable product. It works. I use it daily. It's nice. But there's a number of things that should be improved. I gave a talk yesterday talking about these things more in depth, but stack switching, multi-byte array access, reference type strings. For whatever reason, strings are not as easy to work with in WebAssembly as you might expect. There are many things that we can improve to make WASM like a suitable substrate for the kind of thing that I'm talking about, but I think the core stuff is there. The core security properties are there, and I think we have a good base to build on. In summary, we have a near monopoly for browser engines. I think it's quite unhealthy. We need to break it up somehow. At least I hope we could. I think WASM is the suitable thing to use for this. I think it's a really great technology, and I think also it's very accessible. The standard is very easy to read, and it's actually implementable without too much engineering effort. Like, you could do it as a free time project. You could do it with minimal resources. It's pretty cool. We should push WASM to its limit for this purpose, see what we can get out of it. And just in general, like, let's take back the web for regular people. And to give users more agency over their computing. So people are concerned about WebAssembly being like, well, with JavaScript, I can read the source code, right? I can look at the inspector and see the source. It's not really true, because most websites are delivering stuff that's been run through a compiler 2 chain, minified. Like, you're already looking at things that aren't real source code anyway. So the web's already gone in this direction of shipping you blobs. And if we're going to do this, what we need is to give people agency. If they're to have control over their computing in the long term. So that's what I would like. I don't exactly know how to get there, but I hope I've planted a seed of interest in exploring this direction. So I encourage more thought and effort put into here. So that's all. I work for a small nonprofit. We do a lot with a little. And if you like the work we do, please visit sprightly.institute/donate. We really need your support. We're a 501c3. Nonprofit in the United States. If you happen to be in the United States, that means your donation's tax deductible. Otherwise, just check out our blog. We have interesting things there. So I hope this was of interest. Thank you. Questions?
All right, I can already see a hand. All right, we're going to do questions now. We've got about 6 minutes for
those. Oh, I did okay on time. Okay.
You did great.
I forgot to start my stopwatch again, so I didn't know.
Yeah, and apologies to anyone that came into the room on time, or anyone watching the stream. I did start your talk a couple minutes early, so my apologies. But anyone watching the stream can actually rewind it.
Watch the recording.
I think the case is really convincing for this from the bottom up. Like, I think, you know, everyone below the, like, web dev that never got further than learning one of the JavaScript frameworks could be pretty convinced by this. But I'm kind of, like, trying to imagine in the other direction, from, like, the dumbest possible web dev, how painful is it to have to do, like, your example of having to do capability, like not having any global functions unless you're using the module that gives you global functions. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, you talked about garbage collection capabilities, but just even, I'm thinking there's like a whole school of thought that Web 1.0 and Web 2.0 were like basically enabled by the weird janky session abstraction that like made it so that you had to learn much less programming to be able to make a web app that was stateful. And like, how would we do, just as a random example, maybe this is an impossible question to answer, but like, how would you give that equivalence? Like, what would have to be in place? Which modules would have to already be written for someone to have, I don't know, old school session variables in JavaScript and have it all run in this?
That's a great question. I would hope that by doing something like this, we don't like throw away any of that old stuff, because the web has to continue to be backwards compatible. So I would hope that that old session-based thing would still work, and you would have hopefully the API layer, you would still have the API layer to do that. But I think you're getting at, like, when you're talking about capabilities, and it's in some ways a familiar way to program, but also different, because we're used to some being able to just like requests, like we talk to REST APIs and things, like resource-based things with names, file names, like non-globally unique names, I should say. And that is a not fully answered question. Like, the world has not come to view capabilities as the way to go. But I think the research is encouraging around things like this not one click for security paper around. So there's the developer experience part and making things good for the developer, and then there's the user experience part of like when you have capabilities as like what your system's built on, how do users interact with them. You're asking more about the developer experience. And I think what we try to do at Sprightly is we try to like really emphasize that it looks like regular programming. Like I think the conceptual leap is not as big as people might think, but there's still some education and still looking for ways to like how do I make this leap intuitive to people, and I don't fully have an answer for you. Does that answer your question in any form?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That was a great question. Thank you.
Awesome.
We should talk after. Yeah.
We have time for one more question. I'm going to go ahead and hand it over now, and then we'll do the changeover. If you do have a question, feel free to talk to Dave afterwards.
Oh, my main question would be that browsers are currently written in C++ for a great reason of performance, mm-hmm. and like WebAssembly like kind of puts a like wrench in the works because it incurs like several times overhead in relation to the actual native implementation. So if we were to like actually make layout in engine in WebAssembly, like all of that graphics abstraction in WebAssembly, wouldn't that be just horribly slow?
That's a great question. I think I could have a one-word answer with yes, but it's a yes but. One, I think, you know, I'm talking about like a vision here. I think we need to, like, if this were to be pursued, we'd have to find out like where do we make the trade-off? Where we maybe sacrifice a little bit of performance for flexibility and for modularity, and where do we say that's not tenable, and what do we keep in the core? To you know, there are certain things that just need to be faster than they are. So you make a good point. So I think I'm not saying get rid of all of the C++ essentially. Like if you maybe there are certain things that we have to keep there for practical reasons, but we can modularize more a lot more than what we have now. At the same time, I think WebAssembly can also kind of come up in its ability to express more performant programs and to be more efficiently compiled. So for example, WebAssembly right now, you're kind of strictly talking like single-threaded programs. There's a proposal for threads out there. So for example, like you're not going to have like you can't write a really good garbage collector in WebAssembly right now because it's just not going to perform well because good garbage collectors want to use all of your CPU's cores so it can be allocating across many threads and collecting and things like that. So there's room for WebAssembly to level up, and then there's also a matter of like we have to make practical trade-offs of like what's worth it? Like what's worth having the modularity and what's not right now. Does that kind of answer your question? It's nebulous, but
yeah, sure. we can talk later.
We can talk later. You sound unconvinced, that's okay. Thank you everybody.